Uh-oh, it's Stewardship Celebration Sunday. Are you celebrating yet? I always get a little nervous when this Sunday rolls around and I'm asked to preach on this topic. Because a lot of people don't like it when the minister talks about money in the sermon. I've heard lots of different lines. What I do with my money is my own concerns, my own business. I don't like it when the minister tries to relate money and God. You shouldn't be talking about money from the pulpit. That's for spiritual things. And besides that sort of tension that it brings up, I've sometimes preached stewardship sermons that didn't work out so well. Because you kind of hope when you preach on stewardship, the givings will go up. And sometimes I've preached on stewardship and the givings have gone down. I think that's counterproductive. And I thought, well, did I offend some people? But I think there's another possibility, because I remember the first sermon I ever preached on stewardship. And I thought that the thing that I should do in that sermon is that I should scare and frighten people. I thought that's the ticket to getting people to give more money. Scare them. Say to them, look, if you don't give more money, we're going to be boarding up the doors and the windows. If you don't give more money, you better put on an extra coat, because we're going to be turning the heat down in here. How will the work of God be accomplished if we can't afford to buy supplies and to pay for the minister's salary? And to pay for the minister's salary. Did you get that part? And then I ended with that great tradition in stewardship sermons. I said, the costs are going up and so our offerings need to go up. I up mine, up yours. I thought it was pretty good. But the givings went down the next week. And I realized what I did in that sermon. I did a good job of making people feel scared. I did a good job of making people feel threatened and anxious. Because people were sitting out there in the pews and they were saying to themselves, he's right. Costs are going up. What about the heat and hydro at my house? It's probably going to go up. I can't give more money to the... he was talking about building maintenance. You know, I was looking at the roof of our house, and boy, it looks like we may be needing a roof pretty soon, so I better put some money away for that. That preacher sure knows how to tell it like it is. I'd better hang on to my money. Marge, let's put less in the offering plate like next week. We ministers, we think we can stand up here in the pulpit and we can say, give more money. But I know you people are smarter than that. And you're saying, Wes, you can say all you want, but I'm going to do my financial planning with my 2 feet solidly planted on the ground, because if I don't look after myself, who will? It's what we all say. And so we figure out what we're going to put in the offering plate under the harsh glare of reality, and with a sharp and steady eye on the financial demands that may be made upon us, not only for the present day, but also for an increasingly precarious and uncertain future. We won't be stupid. We won't be taken in. And we will certainly not let the overly enthusiastic words of some pie-in-the-sky preacher sway us from a steady course into a secure and dependable tomorrow. So, what magic formula do we use when that shiny brass plate is whisked under your nose at around 10:20 on a good Sunday morning? Well, we can sort of figure it's like paying admission, right? It's like going to a show. When you go to a show, you pay a price for going to the show. You buy a ticket. So before you arrive on Sunday morning, you've roughly calculated what this particular show is worth. Me and the missus and the kids are coming. 2 adults, 3 children. And if you don't come, you don't pay because you're not seeing the show. It's the way the world works. Pay as you go for services rendered. Or maybe you take a different approach. Maybe you read the church budget. And you have some kind of idea where the money goes and the various expenses for the church. And you decide to commit yourself to your fair share. You look at the budget. The budget's for $100,000. There's 100 people in this church. You say, my fair share is $20 a week. $1,000 a year. My fair, 1/100th. I'm committed to this church, so I'll do my fair share to keep the doors open, to keep the heat on, to keep the lights on, pay the minister. And when I'm not here, weeks I'm away, I'll make up for it when I'm back. You can count on me. Some people do that. And then there are some people who go the second mile, and they give to make sure the church budget works. They believe the work of the church is of crucial importance. They give more than their fair share. Maybe they had good examples of giving as they were growing up. Maybe because they feel God has blessed them. Maybe because they're heavily involved, committed to the life and ministry of the church. In any case, they look at the church's needs and they say, I will support the church's budget to the best of my ability. And I've often thought that's the right approach. If you believe in the church, you give to the church budget to make it work. Even if it requires some sacrifice or financial stress. But you know what? I've decided I don't like to give to church budgets. I no longer believe any of that. I've decided instead of giving to the church budget, I'm going to give to God. I'm going to give to the work of Christ in this world. I'm going to give to the kingdom of God so the mission and ministry of Christ can be made real and alive in our world. And I'm going to give to that as much as I possibly can, even if it affects the kind of vacation I take or the car I drive or what kind of technology toy I can buy. See, I don't think any of us should give to church budget. Church budget isn't my God. Christ is my God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I give to that ministry. Now, doesn't that seem a little crazy to give away something that would give you some fun? But you see, when I think about it as giving to God, it changes the way I think. You see, I give to God. I think the most important thing in our world to most people is money. How much money do you have? How much money have you accumulated? What kind of clothes can you afford to buy? What kind of house can you live in? What kind of car can you drive? How much are your investments? How much will you have to play with you when you retire? Everything seems to revolve around money. So if everybody thinks that money's the most important thing, then I'm going to use my money to declare what I think is most valuable and precious to me. And that's life in the Spirit. That's God. There is nothing more valuable than God. And if money's a way I can proclaim that truth to you, to everybody, to the world, then so be it. I will affirm the importance of God in my life by prying open my wallet to such an extent that that truth becomes self-evident. You know what else I've discovered? I've discovered I feel really good about giving to God. It gives me It gives me a sense of joy to give to God. To know I'm enabling the work of God in significant and important ways. That's worth more than the money it cost me to do it. And Wayne was reading that passage today that was written by the Apostle Paul, and he says, Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. You know what I've discovered? Giving makes me cheerful. It feels good to give. In fact, I've gotten to the point now where I say to people, if people come to me and they're feeling down or depressed or anxious or whatever, I say to them, you know what you need to do? You need to give yourself away. You need to go and be there for somebody else. Help somebody else. Support somebody else. Find a marginalized, a poor person on the side of the street. Drop a $20 bill into their hand. Watch the joy that brings. I feel good when I give. And you know what else? When I give to God, I feel like I'm buying my freedom. Because I see all around me people who are slaves to money, to the accumulation of money, to its insatiable demands, to its spiraling appetite. It seems almost like the more money a person has, the more they need more money. And I would have thought it would be the opposite. I would have thought, if you don't have money, you want more. And if you do have money, you don't worry too much about getting more money. But that doesn't seem to be the way it is. When I was involved with building a new church in Unionville some years back, we made an appeal to some of the churches in the area, Presbyterian churches, in that presbytery to help support us in putting up this new building. Two churches that we approached were extremely wealthy churches. Millions of dollars in trust funds. And I even spoke at those churches. One of them gave us nothing. The other one gave us a $5,000 loan with interest. A third one, they had just built their church 2 years ahead of us. You remember back what interest rates were in the early 90s? 11, 12% interest rates in the early 90s? At other church, it was struggling under a huge mortgage. It was actually Amber Lee Presbyterian Church, the minister there, Morley Mitchell. Morley actually is the father of Rebecca, who's coming here as our new associate. Amber Lee Presbyterian Church gave us thousands of dollars, gave it to us. They were the ones who were struggling, and yet they were the ones who were most generous to us. Do you know what I think? I think we can be tempted to believe that money can give us everything we want. I believe money tries to mimic the promises of God. Money buys you a house, but not a home. Money buys you food, but not laughter and conversation around a table. Money might be able to buy you longer life, but it can't buy you eternal life. Ultimately, money can't fulfill the promises it makes to us. And finally, for me, it comes down to this. You know what? God has always been faithful to me. So why shouldn't I be faithful to God? I don't know, maybe with you, with me, you can say, I've been through some tough times in my life. Times of ups and downs. Times of poverty and times of wealth. Sometimes of struggle, sometimes of peace, sometimes of sadness, sometimes of joy. But if you can say like me that through it all and in it all has been the presence of God, that through it all and in it all has been the guiding of God's hand in my life, that through it all and in it all, God has given me the strength to persevere through the difficult times to a bright new day. And if you can say like me once in a while, wow, God just interrupted my life with a miraculous thing. When I was studying to be a minister, anybody who's been a student knows what it is to be impoverished. Coming home on the bus one day from Knox College. Didn't have two nickels to rub together. I mean, sure, I could go to my parents, but wow, you don't want to go to your parents. You're on your own. You're living on your own. You're independent. You don't want to go to your parents. And so I phoned the minister at the church where I was, where I'd grown up. And I said to him, I don't know, Harry, I don't know why I'm calling you, but we got nothing. And he said to me, did you get yet the check for $1,500 that we put in the church budget to support you? No. $1,500. That would last for months and months. God has always been faithful to me. Have you found that? Good times, rough times, through it all, in it all. God there with you. That's the way I've found my life. And so why would not I be generous to a God who has been abundantly generous me? Now, I'm not going to say you need to give this much or you need to give this percentage. I would simply invite you to do one thing. Think about it. Pray about it. And give to the work of God an amount that shows what God means to you in your life. Now, your stewardship committee wants you to give that all here. But I think the most important thing is that we give in thankfulness to the work that is close to the heart of God. To being there for people who are struggling in the midst of natural disasters. To being there for people who are struggling in the midst of famine. To be there for people who are marginalized and hungry. To give so that God's good news can be shared in our world. I don't think God has given us an impossible task to do here at St. Andrews. I think God got it all figured out. And God has made sure that in this sanctuary, that in this church, there's plenty of money to do the work that God calls us to do here at St. Andrews. I trust God. I trust. Let us pray. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all praise, honor, and glory, world without end.